According to most car industry experts, electric vehicles are the cars of the future, and the transformation may happen faster than we think. There are many benefits in place for people who own them already. Did you know that EVs are exempt from all emissions testing requirements and that there are tax benefits to owners as well? I will tell you, I did not. Ray Martinez, who is our guest, will share with us what benefits are available, but what about infrastructure? How fast can we get there? What about battery storage and long trips? Stay with me while we take a look into our future. Hi, everyone. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and we're going to get down to earth to learn about what? No gasoline, no problem. Electric vehicles are our future. And from everything I can read and all of my research and talking to industry experts, they are indeed. But before I introduce our guest, who is really ready to share his expertise, I'd like to thank the sponsor of this show, Tucson Electric Power. For anyone who's lived in Tucson for any amount of time, it's obvious that TEP is more than just utility. Tucson Electric Power provides safe, reliable power to Tucson residents, and they offer customers a wide range of incentivized programs to help them reduce their energy costs and build a better future. On a personal note, one of the things that I admire greatly about this organization is their commitment to volunteerism. From the top down, they encourage their employees to get engaged, to make a difference in our community, and they do. So we thank them for their support. Now please join me in welcoming Ray Martinez, who is the TEP Program Manager for Residential Energy Efficiency Programs and Services. Ray, thank you so much for being here. I almost didn't start the show because I was asking you so many questions off air. And then I said, stop. We have to really get on with the show so you can share your expertise, of which you have a great deal. So I think it's top of mind for lots of people in our country, not just environmentalists, but people want to know what they're going to be driving. And I meant it when I said that many of my friends at the Chapman Automotive Group who go to Europe and Japan and travel to look at the cars of the future, they come back and, like the general manager Nebbiolo says, Gina, electric, it's our future. So start talking about it. Tell me how it's going to happen. Like, why? Let's start with why it's a better technology.
Oh, first of all, thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
It's going to be great. Yeah, I'm excited.
It's really great. And Tucson Electric Power, who I work for, is a great company and a great partner in the community. Not sure of that's true of a lot of utility companies across the nation, but I know it's true of Tucson Electric Power supporting the decarbonization goals. And electric vehicles really do start to take us into that path at a greater level. The question is, electric vehicles, it's the future. You know, why is it the future? Or why do we, you know, why are the projections steering us in that direction? And honestly, when we start to look at our vehicles today, is that they're getting smarter and smarter, right? We notice that.
Oh my
all
gosh,
the time,
like, right? I could go off on a total trajectory. I have this car now from Chapman, and it's like you don't have to do much. The windshield wipers go on when it's raining. The brakes go on if a car is front. I get a lane warning if I'm going off to the side a little bit. I mean, it does everything. Yeah. The brights go on by themselves and dim by themselves. So that's one smart car. Yeah. I just have to steer.
Yeah, and so I think one of the things when we start looking at these vehicles, and we can start thinking about autonomy, right? You start hearing a lot about autonomous vehicles. There's these vehicles that can pretty much drive themselves. And from what you've described, it's very close to it, right?
Yes.
In order for that to happen, these vehicles have to be less combustion and more electric. So we started looking at one of these. How does that happen? And one of the ways is just to make your overall use of for the vehicle more electric. Battery electric vehicles will be smarter than our internal combustion engine vehicles, even if our current internal combustion engine vehicles are very smart. One of the things I think that's helping to drive the actual, we talk about decarbonization, right? Transportation, I believe, and I have to go back and check, but I believe the EIA says that it's about 28 could be somewhere between 28 to 36% of our total.
It is. So I was going to say, it hovers.
Thank you for clarifying.
That's exactly
that.
Right.
So when we started looking at the transportation environment and it's shifting from conventional fuel, fossil fuel based to electric vehicles, that's a big leap in decarbonization, and it's something that that I know Tucson Electric Power is very interested in supporting and being a partner, because that's one thing we might support. We might help jumpstart the transformation of this in our territory, but we want to be a partner with the community. We want to be a partner with other utilities. We want to be a partner with other entities to make sure that that happens.
Because we're going to get our electric power for our cars from TEP. So there's it's an inextricable bond that has to really be considered. And it's a partnership that we cannot do without, nor would we want to.
Most definitely. And one of the things I think we always like to make sure that we understand is that it is electrification. It's adding load. But we, as an organization and as a community, have to make sure that this is responsibly. So we like to call it responsible electrification. That's really important.
When I had my vehicle, my Audi from Chapman last year, I got this little box and we plugged it into the wall and we charged it overnight. And first of all, it was so quiet that it was scary. You didn't know if it was on or off even when you were driving it. So I like that. But I literally spent $17 to $20 a month on gas. So it was clean burning. It was a hybrid because it did take both, which is another conversation to have. But it blew me away how efficient and how smooth and how little I spent on gas, which who wouldn't love that?
And imagine now, not spending any money on gas, not having to go to the fuel station to actually fill up. And that's where battery electric vehicles will take us. We talk about how quiet they are and too, how clean they are. And when I talk about clean, it's not just the lack of greenhouse gases,
right.
The greenhouse gas emissions. It's that you don't have all of these moving parts that need a lot of these other byproducts that come with
the vehicle. So they're efficient too, more efficient.
More efficient, definitely.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
So it's really important. We talk about their capabilities in smart, not just in operating systems. Like really what they tend to do is, and I've test driven quite a bit of them. It's almost like a smart device. It's just very effortless, very user friendly. It's almost like using your iPhone or your Android phone.
You don't have to do anything.
You don't have to do a lot.
I feel in my car. I don't have to do anything except steer.
Yeah. And then some of the technology I think that's really important, it's that it's also being sustainable itself. Regenerative braking is very important for that type of vehicle because it also helps the charge back.
So I didn't think about this, and I know you're not a car expert, but you know a lot about it because that's where you're working in that space at the nexus of
the technology.
And the utility company. But what about I think about my electric vehicle. What about, I lost my train of thought because I rarely do that, but it's like, I'm thinking about how my brain is going faster than my mouth can work, which is unusual. But let's, I hope it comes back. But what about what I keep thinking about when you talk about it and when I read about it is infrastructure, which is going to be the key part for TEP. How is that going to work and how quickly can we get there and take as long as you want? Because I'm thinking people are saying it's 3 to 5 years and I'm thinking, how can we get there that quickly?
Yeah. So I think one of the things that I think we as a utility and the deliverer of electrons, the deliverer of electricity to customers is that one, we will make sure that we have that available to you when you need it. And it is a heavier load for charging with vehicles, with electric vehicles. Right now, level one charging, which is just a plug into the regular outlet.
I have.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's we don't see that as a problem. The fact that you were doing overnight is even more beneficial. The overnight charging, the off-peak charging,
it's always great. Everybody's
for us,
sleeping,
Everybody's sleeping, so that's when we want to charge. It's when we start going to that. We want to fill the electric fuel tank.
Put it in layman's terms, and I understand
the battery packs
the electric
in the vehicles
fuel tank, right?
A lot faster. That we start to say, okay, this is something we really have to, one, bring awareness. So we'll have to do a lot of education and outreach of how to do that, and preparing ourselves as well as our customers for the technology that they're taking on. Because these, they're, the next level is level two charging. Right now, it's not, the average was between 7 and 8 kW of load, which is it's a pretty big load. Most homes tend to be, or we have an average, I believe, about 10 kW, 8 to 10 kW average. I'll have to look and make sure that that's right, but it could equal the amount of the load that you have right now in your home. So those are the things we have to make sure that we start looking at and saying, how do we manage that?
And in your crystal ball, which I said I was going to ask you like 5 years down the road, will most of the charging, most people drive around their town, their city. Long trips are not what everybody's doing every day. So a significant part of my transportation for my job is within the Tucson city limits, unless I have a trip to Phoenix, right? Will most people be charging in their homes? Is that the wave of the future? Or will we be doing it, you know, will I be stopping in Casa Grande on the way to Phoenix to charge my vehicle? And then how long would that take? I think that's about three questions, but it's, I'm going down the road. It's like, so, okay, I charge it at home and then I have to go to Phoenix. I don't run out of electric gas.
So I'll start with the first one. Will most of the charging happen at home? Right now, all of the projections, right, we can project what we see in the horizon coming right now. All the projections say about 80% of the charging will happen at the residential level.
So 80%.
At the home level.
That answers a big mystery to me.
Yeah, so
because we have homes. Yeah,
we have a lot of homes. So one of the big components is that us to proactively engage that customer base and those products that are coming that will take up that 80% is where we want to make sure that we're adding value and everything that we're offering to our customers and how our customers are utilizing it. So we want to make sure that they're aware of the best times to charge, right? That saves them money.
Got it.
And it's actually less money to fuel their vehicle
at that point.
It supports us because of distribution impacts. So it's a lot, the heavier the load is, the more electricity that's being drawn, the more our distribution gets impacted, our grid gets impacted. So those are things that we really want to think about in the future. We talk about 3 to 5 years in the future, right?
Right.
And for us right now,
which is like tomorrow.
Yes,
it's like tomorrow.
It's a stone's toss away.
Yeah.
So for us, I think one of the things that I always like to say is that as it's going on right now, the market penetration, it's getting heavier and heavier. We're seeing more electric vehicles out on the road. More coming into our territory. We're good. Our grid is strong. We've been doing this for 125 years, and we know how to do it and do it well.
And you are always looking into the future as a corporation. Yeah. Yeah. Always and looking around the corner.
Yeah, so now for us, it's like, what's the next thing? Especially like, I think in my world, emerging technology and innovations, it's like, okay, so what's next? How do we do this next? And in that, talking to different product manufacturers and OEM vehicle manufacturers, is that we don't see level two staying between 7 and 8 kW as an average of the load. We actually see it increasing to an average of about 20 to 24. So almost double the load of what an entire average home is right now. So that's where we're starting to say that once we start getting to that point.
So does that mean, I mean, I am your woman on the street, man or woman on the street. Does that mean that our homes will have the capacity to provide more electricity? Is that what you're saying?
We want to make sure that you if you need the electricity, we want to make sure that we're able to deliver it to you.
So that there's capacity
power,
there.
In a quality method and a reliable method and in a
safe reliable.
Method. Safe,
I know,
and reliable.
You got it
safe
down, and they
reliable.
Do. They do.
Safety.
Ask me how many times I ever had to worry about my power in 43 years. I haven't. And I say that to TEP, and I say that to the water department when they're here. I have had safe, clean, reliable water. You know, things happen and pipe would break. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty amazing when you think of what the infrastructure takes that we do get lights on, even when the grid is so taxed and there's short power outages. I mean, we live and die by it. One of the things I wanted to observe, and I remembered what my question was, will the lack or the lessening of moving parts and oil pans and this and that and in an electric vehicle, will it help with the longevity of owning the vehicle? Will vehicles need to be replaced as often, or can you not answer that?
Well, I said,
you're not a car expert, in them a lot.
I definitely can't answer that.
Okay.
I think it just shifts, right? One of the things that we're starting to look at is the battery cells. You know, what's the degradation?
Right.
How is it utilized? Right. How is it charged? Higher loads
of
charging.
How long is it going to last?
So those are things that are unknown. One of the things that I know is that vehicles that came out that were full electric in 2012, 2013 are exceeding some of their projected battery lifespans. So
that's good. And technology will continue to improve.
Yeah, and technology does continue to improve. And actually, I think one of the biggest benefits for us is that the digital platforms, the operating systems that are in the back end, what we don't see, are improving. And they're figuring out ways to optimize that charging and that, I'll say this, that charging and that range within the vehicles. So at the charging node, the charging product, how that charges the vehicle based on how much charge it has left, it's optimizing itself. And then the vehicle consumption of the charge or the energy while it's being driven, it's also becoming smarter and optimizing as well. That's when different technologies, different add-ons to the vehicle. We talked about regenerative braking, right? It's helping you recharge as you're, instead of you actually utilizing the brake, the regenerative braking is actually slowing you down and helping your vehicle charge up again.
Wow. So, wow. Yeah. Oh my God, there's people on it 24/7. And when I think about this, and it definitely dates me, but I don't mind that. I embrace my age and say it on the air all the time. I remember when I first moved to Pima County from New York City, where I wasn't as aware of the technology, but I worked for Pima County, and an entire floor was the server. A floor, okay? Now, my phone has more capacity than that floor. So that makes me excited about the technology in terms of battery storage. It will happen faster and faster and faster.
And multiple streams of groups are working on it too. So it's because it's adding so much value, not just to transportation, it's just so many things that are going on.
Everybody wants to be at that party.
Yep.
I mean, everything. When you read like I do, I read voraciously about, you know, the latest climate assessment report that was released by the federal government, the COP21, the IPCC released another one through the United Nations about, you know, basically all the reports are saying the same thing. If we don't like start turning this ship around pretty quickly, we have about 12 years before it's at catastrophic level. And I think anybody can look at like the wildfires and see what catastrophic level looks like, because we're just sitting here heating up, you know, and people have to understand it doesn't mean we're just heating up. It means there's storms are more severe. And I love to have climate scientists explain why they call it global warming. And this is such a contribution to combating that. One of the things I notice, and I'm sure you do, we went out to the Desert Museum this past weekend, and an entire area of their parking lot has charging stations. I'm seeing them more and more and more. They have them at the mall now. So that's going to have to happen too. There's so many moving parts that you have to think about.
Yeah, no, we're definitely starting to see more of them come in. And it's for us right now, it's like, how do we make that available? How do we continue to give that opportunity for our customers, for our end customers to have that as they start utilizing these vehicles? It is, I mean, it's, I take a drive to breakfast on a Sunday morning here in the Tucson territory, and I see electric vehicles. I think I saw one at a stoplight, and I was like, oh, it's happening.
It's
coming more and more. The vehicles that I saw last year at a consumer electronics show surprised me how far they had advanced in that short span. And talking to some of the engineers there and talking to some of the product developers there, they were telling me that 2019 is going to be even bigger. because they're figuring out ways to do more range. And this is what, I think this is what really was kind of like the, for me, the light switch and to really click it on was, think about like your, we talked about smartphones earlier. Smartphones keep getting better, faster processing, just overall.
It's unreal.
But the price point stays static.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So the same cost that you paid for it last year, you'd pay for it the next year with the new model. That's a lot faster, a lot better, better cameras. So it was going to be similar MSRP for these vehicles. The OEM, I believe it was Nissan, maybe it was Nissan Leaf I was talking to, had their vehicle. Next year's range was going to come out, better vehicle, more technology, just doing so many great things with them. And they were saying the MSRP is going to stay static. It's just something that they're figuring out how to do it. And still
it's so
finding
encouraging.
Yeah.
It's so encouraging.
So we started thinking about the adoption, and the prices are becoming very competitive to conventional fuel vehicles. So that's where we start seeing some of these projections of growth, and saying, "Well, that's looking more and more real. It's coming, getting closer."
So here's a question. I don't know if you're going to know the answer, but you're in the utility business, so you must know something about this. How are electric gas stations, I'm just going to call them that. I love that you said that because that's what people understand. Electric gas stations. How are they going to charge money? You know what I mean? Like I pay in my house whatever the utility bill was. I notice no increase in my utility bill based on charging my car here. It's minimal. And it's like you said, it's not during peak time. But I keep trying to get my head around, I'm a very visual person, very visual learner, that there are all these gas stations. If I was in the gas station business, should I be looking at being in the EV charging station business? Because how are they going to charge? Is it going to be like by the kilowatt, or how is that going to work?
Kilowatt hour, kilowatt, yeah. So for us, I think right now it's, I'll say this, what we know right now is what's out there and available right now. Different type of memberships with different groups, different charging products that are out there.
Got it.
For us, it's one of those big questions we want to solve for our customers, especially in our territory. And part of the reason is because I talked a little bit earlier about our charter, right? Safe, reliable, quality power. And we also, we keep customer costs down. I mean, that's one of the things that we want to continue to do. And it should not be any different, like when we start looking at fueling for our homes, which is what you're doing right now with the energy that we're serving your home, right? The home of our residents. If we're fueling something else, we want to do that as well. So I don't have a definite answer, but I know we want to get to the point where we can offer that across for all our customers in our territory. Part of our direction is to make sure that we have the right, the most optimized programs and services for our customers so that they have a very competitive price to fuel their vehicles.
Yeah, because there's no place where you go, and I mean, I used a lot of them last year when I had the Audi. They don't, you know, at malls and all those places, you just plug them in. The other thing that is kind of discouraging to me as a consumer, it's like with cords with your different phones, and you have to get a different charger and a different this and different that. In some of the places, the electric vehicle charging stations were not compatible with the kind of charge that the nozzle didn't fit. And one was for, I think, a Leaf. And I forget what the other one was, but I'm so happy, like, oh, I can get a parking space at this mall during the holidays because it's for EVs only. And the nozzles didn't fit in. So I wonder how that will be. Probably competitive, right? It will not, there's not going to be a universal charging nozzle.
I mean, proper standards, right? We want to make sure there's proper standards. But I think one of the things is when they're not all compatible, you have the manufacturers. Now, what I've seen is coming out with their adapters. One of the biggest manufacturers in the market right now has an adapter for their vehicle. And so their chargers are proprietary to their products, to their vehicles. But when their vehicles go to a different charger, they have an adapter. So will they,
you know, I'm scared of how the light bulbs are going on in my head, because this is a very complex subject in the world that you live in terms of capacity and storage and all those things. But it's starting to make sense to me about how things can happen. And I just have to share this story with you. I talk about how spoiled we are a lot as a country. Many of us have privilege and we're so blessed. And my daughter bought a car recently. And first of all, I was like, we drove with her to Taos, New Mexico, and we get up there and it's 9 degrees. And I am looking all over this car and I'm like, where is the seat heaters? Where's the button? And she didn't have one. And I thought, I'm spoiled. I said that. I said, oh, wow, am I spoiled? So there wasn't that. And then another thing was, with my car now, it's a Honda Insight, I just have to plug my charger right into the car. There's no adapter. There's no thing that you have to buy and have it plug into that. So I'm telling my friend this, talking about feeling so privileged that I can't. She said, what? They don't have heated seats? Do they make cars like that anymore? So we had a laugh at that. But she said, well, with my phone, I just have to put it on the shelf and there's no cords at all. And I was like, why did you tell me that? Now I want that toy. So that's really indicative of how fast it's changing. She said, no, I'm not kidding. I just got a new phone because I had an old phone, 10 years old or something, I don't know. And she said, and I just lay it down in the car and it recharges without any cords. And I'm like, yes, I want that. And for my sustainability lens, that's great because there's all of these cords that are being thrown in landfills by the millions a day. So eliminating anything like that technology will be great. Really great.
Getting everything to its simplest form, right? Makes it more effortless. I think that's one of the things that I go back to foundational mathematics. You know, it's the simplest form. And that's exactly what you just described right now. And start thinking about it from the phone level of charging, how you change from the cords to the inductive charging. Those are things.
Is that what that's called? Yeah, inductive charging?
So those are things what we can see in the horizon right now is coming there. There's these really cool beta and alpha projects or these pilots that have these other type of charging technologies where you can do that. You just drive up to the spot instead of actually plugging in. You know, so those are things that
you're just getting me going. Seriously. I want to travel with you. I want to be your attaché and go to these conferences and carry your briefcase.
So I'm super fortunate, you know, to have see a lot of this. But I'm very fortunate. My nerdness comes out, and I get to experience it and see a lot of
this. I was just going to ask you that. What's your background? Because I can tell after doing this for 10 years, when someone sits in that chair, if they're passionate and hungry and eager and excited about what they do. And you fit all of those. Plus, I'm going to tell some of those people back there that you're winning most best dressed, which we don't have on the air.
Best dressed.
You're winning best dressed. Now,
so I will say on the best dressed, it's full disclosure, I have a 17-year-old daughter and she picks what I wear, how I wear it.
Oh,
and
do
when
I ever get that? I have a 37-year-old daughter and I'll come out and she'll say, Mom, no. Isn't that great that you have that kind of coaching?
Yes, and for her, it's like it's something that's very important to her. And for me, it's like, sure, why not?
Oh, that makes me smile so much.
I have like no concern about the whole wardrobe. So thank you very much, and I'll relay that over to her. And she loves to hear it, by the way.
When Francisco gets to come on the show, I said it might be Ty for first because he's a pretty dapper dresser himself. I mean, he shows up to my Rotary Club, and I'm like, dude, you really got put together well.
we'll allow you. We'll let you be the judge.
I will.
Of that,
I'll be the judge. No pressure.
And as far as background, I actually semiconductor. So semiconductor microprocessors. That's
unbelievable.
That's really not just my passion, but it's where I started in the career path, and I really enjoyed that. Very fortunate with the semiconductor company that's based that has a headquarters here in Arizona, had a program, and I was able to be a part of it, and you know, took off from there. And
it's got to be an exciting time for you in this field with a nerd factor. Seriously, I mean, that's a compliment because that's who I interview is people that really want to know about this stuff in terms of the acceleration in the changes of technology. And look where you're sitting at the cutting edge of the changing technology because it's an industrial revolution. There's no question.
It definitely is leaping forward. I mean, and it's we were talking about some of the technology that's coming and range. range is one of the things that we're getting out of
it. Huge, yeah.
And it's not just with the hardware, it's with the software and the back-end platforms that's helping optimize that. When you get vehicles that are 200 plus range, that's game changer, and we're seeing that come out right now.
Yeah.
And the important factor is that they're coming out at a competitive price level.
I'm glad that you keep bringing that up, because that matters,
yes.
Especially to people that are minimum wage employees that need their vehicle. And mm-hmm. every time there was a gas hike, it impacted their ability to go to work or to buy food and put food on the mm-hmm. table. So to me, that's the thing as a social service activist that really is near and dear to my heart.
Well, and so it's really important when we understand that the decarbonization, the lack of greenhouse gases that are coming out of electric vehicles is really important. That's really one important
for
measure.
Every one of us on the planet.
And then we have the other side of it, the economics for these customers, you know, for our end customers, for our end clients, for not just for us, the utility company, not just for Tucson Electric Power, but I think for everyone else that's part of the economy, right? It's how do we continue to move forward? They can do it in a way where the same OEMs, the same manufacturers that are offering you your current conventional fuel vehicles to offer you something that it's much more inexpensive or very competitive to the cost of a current internal combustion engine vehicle. It's really important.
Well, I want to always be on the cutting edge of technology, and I mean that. I embrace it. Thank God I have a daughter who is, oh my gosh, I mean, sometimes I just hand her whatever gizmo I have in my hand, but I want to learn it, and I want to embrace it, and I want to know how to do things and what's coming up. And the only thing in this whole conversation that I think about and go off into another trajectory, which is a show for another day, is the conversation around driverless cars. I mean, it blows me away. So we don't have to have that conversation. But I did want to ask you before we finish up here, what about all of the huge, the commercial vehicles, the buses and the trucks that are on the road? You know, look, go on the road. There's still a major way of transporting goods from one end of our country to another. What's in the crystal ball in terms of electric vehicles and technology for them?
Yeah, so multiple manufacturers are coming out or have pilots that are or products that are being piloted right now that are for big rig and transportation.
They will have storage capacity.
Yeah, they will definitely have storage capacity.
Right.
And bigger distribution impacts. So those are the things that we continue to monitor. We know like the big players like UPS, FedEx, that are big transportation companies.
Amazon.
Have dedicated Amazon as well, who's now in our territory, has dedicated to electrifying their part of their transportation.
Yeah.
And setting goals. I think that's the really important thing. The starting points are really important for us to say, hey, we're going to adopt part of our transportation to be electrified, but setting those bigger goals. I know here at Tucson Electric Power, our leaders are working tirelessly on setting those goals for us as well. I mean, those are things that we're looking at right now.
Very
aggressive. And we'll continue to monitor and see what paths are there. I want to make sure we're able to continue to get to our end product and end goal of power quality, reliability, and safe. But then everything, how do we do that, you know, in this fashion? How do we do it with the next level of technology is something that we continue to move forward on.
I mean, I was so thrilled when I discovered this morning that you were going to be the guest. I mean, I did the show right up. I didn't know it was going to be today, but I have insatiable curiosity about it. So I am going to remind everyone that anything we talked about, any reference or links, all of the links to TEP and pertinent pages are on the show notes for this podcast on our Mrs. Green's World website, so you don't have to worry about writing anything down. And, you know, I'm getting to be the last word for Mrs. Green's World, and I say this to close a lot of the shows. We are committed to raising awareness about every aspect of climate change that you can imagine. And whether this is the first podcast you've listened to or not, you know that we believe that mitigating the progression of climate change is what we are all about and is the biggest threat our world has ever faced. CO2 emissions, carbon, all of that is arguably the biggest issue we are facing that we have to conquer. And this show gives me hope. It's one that we are facing and will face in the weeks, months, and years to come. So thanks to TEP for always being on that cutting edge and looking forward to what we can do to make a bigger difference for our community and the planet. And I enjoyed every minute of this. I smiled a lot.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, it's just more sustainable, a great leadership at the company. Allowing me to be very nerdy in things that I really enjoy.
I love that you said that. It's like, yeah, the world needs more nerds because they're the ones that are sitting there with the wheels turning constantly to figure it out. But I'm one of the ones that wants to tell your story. So we need both. Tomorrow, December 20th, T. Van Hook is going to do a show with me about the global housing crisis. She was in Nepal, and of course, they have 3.5 million people that were displaced in the 2015 earthquake. So she has stories to tell. And I do want to tie it in a little bit because TEP's volunteerism, which I mention a lot in my intro, is epic. And it's pretty funny because TEP does a home build for Habitat for Humanity for World Habitat Day, thousands of volunteer hours. You're all over the place in terms of volunteering. So Chapman was nominated for a volunteerism award. And I just got an email yesterday that we were beat out by TEP. So that's an honor because the volunteerism that's in your company, like I said, it permeates every level of the organization. So I just had to say that.
Oh, yeah. Great philanthropy team, great everybody, community and volunteering team.
It is. Yeah. Happy holidays, everyone. This is going to be one of my last broadcasts for the year, but we will have some wonderful best of shows that we're going to be re-airing of some of the most enjoyable shows and informative shows. So be safe out there. Overeat a little bit. And remember, do not drink and drive because the life you save may be your own or somebody else's. So take good care. And like I said, if you're a Merry Christmas person, which I am, Merry Christmas. And if your holidays, make them merry and bright. Thank you, Ray. This was delightful.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.